ever play Ding Dong Ditch or have a surgery? If so, today's episode is going to get under your skin. Because both of those situations turn freaky in today's episode, which starts right now.
Ready for something scary?
Okay!
You're in the right spot. The iScary podcast collects spooky, creepy news stories to discuss and give you chills.
Whatever.
Just so you know, hosts discuss topics they've just learned about and have no prior knowledge. Their views are just for your entertainment.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the iScary podcast. We're lucky today to have a friend visiting us. His name is George Gilbert, and I've known him forever. He comes from a long line of Hollywood notable actors and performers. George, thanks for being here.
And thank you for having me. We have known each other forever. In fact, we met in acting class 101 in college.
Oh, no. Let's not talk about that.
And Notebook. That was the first thing we had to do is name and prop. And so I was George Watch and you were Ann Notebook.
Oh, gosh. What a memory. I do remember that about you, which could come in handy today.
Or haunt you at the same time.
Well, that's also on point for our theme.
Oh, yeah.
Let's jump right into the first story. This one is called Deadly Ding Dong Ditch. It's just an innocent game of Ding Dong Ditch, or so they thought.
Hurry, let's get out of here.
That wasn't Bobby.
Was it his dad?
I don't think so. He's following us.
I think he's going to hit us.
And things turn deadly really fast.
Wow. I wonder what he'd do with the Avon person.
Exactly. Or a census person.
Or the Fuller Brush guy. Come on. It's a comb.
Let's get the full details. We're going to send this one over to another newscaster joining our team, Evie Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome and take it away.
News.
Don't Ding Dong Ditch from Fox 10 Phoenix. A harmless childhood game turns deadly when three teenagers ring the wrong door while playing an innocent game of Ding Dong Ditch. It all started when three boys were on their way to a sleepover and decided to stop and ring a neighbor's doorbell and run. They thought it was the door of a boy their age. They were wrong. The man that lived at the home came out and chased them in his car, eventually running them off the road, where the teenager's Prius ran into a tree, killing them. The angry neighbor went back to his home, where the police also rang his doorbell to arrest him.
Are you kidding?
Oh, that's just awful. Have you ever played Ding Dong Ditch?
Yeah, but it's been 40 years since even more than 40 years since I've done anything like that. And it was just in the neighborhood. We knew who it was. And, you know, thank goodness I didn't have a Prius back then.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that is a different story. I mean, obviously, if there were six teenagers in a Prius, I'm probably some of them weren't wearing a seatbelt. There's a joke there, and I don't want to make it because it says this is tragic. This is awful.
It is tragic, and even though we can find the humor in it, sometimes we need to find that humor because humor releases that tension, that nervousness. So sometimes when you're dealing with an awful experience like that, you have to laugh. In fact, I do motivational humor and talk about the importance of humor, and I was talking to a nurse. She was in the emergency room and we were talking one day and I said, you probably have a sick sense of humor working with so many tragic accidents and victims and all the different things you see in the emergency room. And she said, oh yeah, we have to in order to keep our job. Yeah. Because what happens is we get so stressed out and it's so intense that sometimes we just have to go in the other room and laugh about something that just happened. The reason being is because it releases that tension and then they can go out and do their job better.
Right.
So it's so important. Now, she said, we don't want the patient, the family, or anybody to hear what we're laughing about because they would just be, offended.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to offend. It was to help.
Sure, heal. Like, well, we laugh a lot on this show at stuff. I always feel like I have to tone myself down because it's like, But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I laugh because it's so horrible. It's a coping mechanism. And you've written a book about it too, right?
Absolutely. Take Two Laughs and Call Me in the Morning. How to Use Humor.
Not a
and
shameless
laughter.
Plug. You guys should get this book.
How to Use Humor in Stressful Times, going through a serious illness or different challenges in our life where, you know, if we just kind of step back and take a laugh at it, we can proceed.
We won't chase someone that rings our doorbell and make them crash into a car. I mean, seriously, these were 16-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Three of them died because they thought they were ringing the doorbell of someone they knew.
Yeah.
And I don't personally remember ringing a doorbell, but there were phone calls. Someone would call. I remember getting phone calls. Like back when I knew you, coming back to town, some kid kept calling me asking to, who is it, the guy that get out of the can? Oh. You know that?
Yeah, I know that joke.
Prince Albert
in the can.
Which I didn't understand at the time. I'm like, I don't buy that stuff. But they kept calling. So every time they called, I would make a different sound. So it became this game. So I handled it with humor. And this neighbor did not.
Yeah, just for the record, that wasn't me calling.
Oh, okay.
I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no restraining orders now.
No,
thank
no.
you. No, they. What's the big deal? What a couple
Someone's
of,
having a bad day,
exactly.
unfortunately.
But what happens is when somebody has a bad day, they take it out on the innocent person.
Exactly.
And
this guy chased them. I understand getting mad, running out of your house and yelling at them, yeah. but to get in your car and chase them?
Well, that shows anger issues.
Yeah, mental. Where, yeah, we have know, so many times it goes down to a mental that you've just triggered the wrong person.
Exactly. And unfortunately, when they rang the doorbell, that was like Pavlov's dogs where he just went off. And so he chased him down and it was a tragic ending.
It was tragic. My only relatable story is when I was working at a publishing company in New York and a bunch of assistants were having lunch and the executives all had private phones in their offices, which they never used because it was a private, this is landline time we're talking about. And so you'd have to go in there and answer it, right? It wasn't hooked up to anything else. So one of the phones rang and the assistant went and answered it. He hung up. It rang again. So he took the call. Some lady calling thought she was calling a Mr. Todd at the local union. And she was complaining about something that had been done right and she was really mad. And he tried to tell her, you've got the wrong number. But she wouldn't listen to him. So after he got back to us and told us the story, the phone rings again. So he goes back, realizing it must be her. He picks up the phone and says, Mr. Todd's office. And he takes the message for that she was determined to leave.
And that's the perfect way to do that because you're having a little joke about it and they stop bothering you.
Exactly. But there's more to the story. So anyway, he came back with the message and I'm like, you can't do that. The woman had a serious problem and she thought she had reached someone. So I went and I called her back to tell her, hey, sorry, we were messing with you because you're calling the wrong number, but you did not reach the union office. The woman went off. She was nuts. She was so nuts. She didn't believe me. And I had to hang up on her. We had to shut the door. So we think that's the end of it. 2 days later, one of the assistants comes in with a little news article that Mr. Todd was shot to death outside of his union office. And we're like, was it the woman?
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm almost speechless with that. But that's not your fault. I mean, you tried.
Thank you. What could we do? Yeah.
You tried. I mean, yeah. She would not. She was so angry that she wasn't thinking straight.
Right.
Or maybe she was thinking straight all the time. I don't know. Because
have no proof that she was the one that shot him.
Right.
He just showed up dead. I mean, he was a union boss in the mid-90s, you know.
Well, at least they found him. They never found Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
Well, I don't know. These kind of stories, there's no happy ending, unfortunately, except to maybe tell ourselves, don't let it get to you that much. It shouldn't get that bad. But I don't think it would, for the average person, we get angry, but we don't take that next step.
Well, and that's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
You know, my parents had a great, when they were doing their act, mm-hmm. when they stayed together with the act and married their entire life because they didn't overreact. Oh. If something went wrong, and they had a very physical comedy act where you miss something, the other one might miss it too. Well, they had the rule that they didn't talk about it right after the show.
Oh, cool.
They waited until the next day when the adrenaline was down and all that energy pumping. They waited until, and then half the time they said, you know what? We got to laugh with that. Let's keep it in the end.
Smart.
So by taking that extra breath, you don't overreact to something. And so if he could have just.
It's kids playing. Haha, I remember when I did that. Yeah, sadly.
And laughed about it.
Wrong time. Yeah. Wrong doorbell. Yeah. Hmm.
But that's when we take ourselves too seriously.
It is. It is. Well, George, you're really good at this. you want another story?
Absolutely. Let's go on.
Yeah. Well, this one is a little more up your alley, and we'll have to explain to everybody why. But it's called Bad Doctor.
This takes place in an operating room in London, where a doctor is completing a liver transplant.
Great job, Doctor. Are you ready to close him up?
Not yet. Gotta leave my initials for good luck. Perfect. Now I'm finished.
Huh?
Yep, you heard that right. He seared his initials inside the patient's body.
I have so many comments on this. As you know, I would, because of my life history, taking care of my wife, Dory, who had two different transplants. The first one, a kidney pancreas transplant at UCLA in 1994. We're back to the 90s, where she time. Was the ninth person overall to receive the kidney pancreas transplant at UCLA.
Yeah, she's an incredible success story.
Absolutely. She cured her diabetes. It cured her kidney disease. All those side effects caused by those diseases went away. I mean, she even lost her eyesight for a time.
How long do you think it took him to think about that, to do it? Like, oh, I got an idea what I'm going to start doing.
He probably been thinking about that through med school.
Drinking about or thinking about? I knew you could bring a lot to this. So let's jump in and first get the complete news story. Edie, take it away.
News.
Bad Doc from the Washington Post. In Britain, well-known surgeon Simon Bramhall saves another life with a liver transplant. But when the liver fails a week later, another surgeon performs that emergency surgery and finds something unusual in the failed liver. The monogram SB, seared into the organ. While the initials did not cause the organ to fail, they were damning evidence that Bramhall had been using an argon beam coagulator, used to stop bleeding, to burn his initials into unsuspecting patients. He was convicted of assault, fined, and lost his medical license. While trying to defend his actions, the disgraced surgeon claimed it was a harmless thing he did to relieve stress during long operations. What will he engrave now that there are no organs at his disposal?
Wow. Could you imagine a doctor betraying a patient like this?
Well, and this is what irks me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, because it's such a challenge. It's such a difficult surgery. You know, because of rejection and everything else that goes into making sure everything's hooked up, if you will, the right way, that why would you scar something?
Yeah, they said the scars don't last.
No,
that's why they only found it under these circumstances, and supposedly he admitted to two others. But we have no way of knowing.
Again, I understand relieving stress, but not on the patient.
Yeah.
Go in and talk about it and joke about it, like our first story where the nurse had to tell all those jokes to handle the stress. By doing that, that's egotistical.
It's totally egotistical. I mean, it's that God complex, which doctors do have. I mean, I understand why they have it. I mean, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just, the betrayal. But how do you get away with that? He's not the only person in the operating room.
No, he's
other
not.
Other people had to see this.
I would assume other people would, because they're all standing over the patient. I mean, Dory had a second one in 2019, a kidney transplant. So you have to imagine that they've got someone's got clamps and all the different hands going in there.
Yeah, the doctor's probably the last person, I mean, or the first person to leave the room. You know, somebody else is closing it up or whatever, right?
And I don't know that part of it, but I do know enough
know you didn't
about
watch it.
And it was hard enough just to being in the waiting room, let alone, you know, observing it.
They would never let you observe.
No, they wouldn't. But it's so intricate and so delicate.
Yeah, I don't see how it couldn't. I mean, they made a claim that it didn't hurt the organ, but how could it not? I mean, this thing's already, it's a traumatizing thing for the body.
Exactly. I mean, the kidney has to wake up.
Right.
After the transplant. Dory's kidney function did not start right away. Mm-hmm. It took about 3 or 4 days before her creatinine went down, before she was able to start to have a normal kidney style. And even then it took
a long time. And here you're
going
to add extra trauma to an already traumatic experience. It's
exactly.
Just unconscionable. I mean, what would you do to this guy if you had found out he had done that to your wife?
Well, I'm sorry, because I'm biased. And
I'd be right there with you.
And that doorbell from the other story, that might have been my doorbell.
Maybe that's what was wrong with that guy. Not that we condone violence.
No, don't. You know, so I would have gone after that guy pretty big time. Not so much as to shoot.
Right.
Someone,
I get it.
But yes,
you don't have mental health issues, so that's good. I mean, I guess they did what the worst they could do for him, but it still sounded like, well, you got fined. Oh, you can't practice medicine. Well, yeah, but
yeah.
I'm sure he could still do other stuff. I mean,
my solution would be to scar him with his initials.
Any patient that wanted to come on in, and you can tattoo anything you want on his backside.
Well, more like brand. Take a sharp branding iron. Here's Dory's initials. DG.
I'm with you on that. That's almost like an eye for an eye kind of mentality. But in this case, I think it would be warranted. This, to me, is true evil in many ways. It's arrogance, yes, but it's sort of evil.
That's Dr. Frankenstein type of stuff.
You're right. It totally goes into that area. So maybe this guy, that's his next act.
We're going to watch some guy with a brain of Igor walking around, or Abby Normal or whatever. I'm sorry, I'm making some old references from Frankenstein and
Young Frankenstein.
Mel Brooks, absolutely.
Yeah, once again, we have to bring humor into it because this is kind of horrific. I don't know. What if it... So this could have turned out to be a doctor you knew, or what if it was even just like your neighbor? What if this like your buddy that you hung out? My great doctor friend, I get great free advice from, and you found out he did this.
I'd have to deliver him some raw liver.
Ooh, that's clever. George, I don't ever want to cross you. You've got, not that I would, but I think you've got some good ideas for revenge.
I've got a great sense of humor, but once you reach that point, and it takes a while.
Well, this is
then
worthy.
There's another side of me with a sense of dark humor, if you will.
Okay, I'm with you. There's a place in the world for that, I guess. I mean, we don't advocate taking law into your own hands. I mean, what is good that this guy was exposed?
Yes.
I mean, and the woman that he branded, her life was saved. So luckily, all that turned out well. Because you don't want somebody, I mean, to find the evidence, something had to go wrong for a patient. So that's awful.
It is. And it could have all been avoided. And that's the key right there.
Right.
It could have been avoided. Maybe she needed that new liver because of what he did. You don't know for sure.
No, you don't know. I mean, obviously, the hospital, I'm sure, is trying to say, oh, no, it had nothing to do with the liver's failure. wouldn't want to admit that. But I think there were probably other cases. I mean, I'm sure there could have been a civil suit against this guy.
If I found out that I had it and others had it, there could even be a class action suit.
Right. There's no way to prove it. I don't, you know, after the fact, no one's going to go look at, I'm not going to let anyone look at my liver or kidney to check it. And it's, you know, it heals, so it goes away. But I feel bad also for the other doctors that would never do this. I mean, this hurts all those doctors, malpractice. Is sky high cost because of crap like this?
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Absolutely. Now, I do know that, for instance, when Dory was getting all her tests done to make sure she was healthy enough to get on the transplant list,
right.
She had a colonoscopy, and they found some cancerous spots on there. So the person, the doctor doing the colonoscopy, he left a tattoo there so the surgeon could go in and find out exactly where she needs to remove it.
Well, that's way different.
But that is different. You're right. That is to help and save people's lives. Right. That this is just arrogant and
hurts your heart that people that his reasoning was, oh, I needed to release some steam. Yeah. No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that for 1 second, mister.
Well, I don't either.
There are just other options. I mean, I guess the theme of the show is make better choices, people.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, George, once again, you're really good. See, I knew you'd offer a lot to these stories.
That's because I talk a lot.
Life experiences, it all comes into play, right?
It does.
Well, I hope you'll come back again. I mean, what's great is that you're in town. This is our second time being live in studio, and George was actually really helpful with me. He's got a lot of experience that I tapped into.
I'm always happy to do this, and be careful, I might be here every other day.
I love it. That will work for me. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of the iScary Podcast. Hope you tune in again soon. Until then, be safe and watch out for those doctors.
Everyone at iScary Podcast would like to thank you, the listeners, for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
And please visit our website at iScaryStory.com, where you can find some tools to protect yourself from every kind of crazy strangeness that we talk about on our show. Thanks also to our newscaster, Evie Jacob, and our announcer, Zach Mercer.
Plus our Step Into the Story actors, Grinnell Morris, Sydney Story, Zach Mercer, and a couple IA programs, one from Speechalo and the other is Synthesis. Last but not least, we get our sound effects from Zap Splat.
Join us again, if you dare. The iScary Podcast is produced by Wyatt Pashik and Ann Kimbrough. Copyright April 2021.